In a prior sermonette given to a gentleman that's not here today, Mr. Schaefer, he talked about the 10 virgins and preparing for when the bridegroom comes. And his message got me to thinking, and I wanted to go in a similar vein with this message. But when I think of preparing, I think of preparing for battle. To be ready for the fight to come. To be in the best shape possible for the attack, that the attacks will come. As Anil said in his, about knowing him, about liking cars and being an automotive enthusiast, I am a movie enthusiast. And I think of a movie that I think the majority, as I look in the crowd, might have seen. Rocky IV. Who has seen Rocky IV? Oh. I only see one. Wow. Wow. That I'm going to be a major spoiler to you all. Well, one of the series in Rocky IV, because he's been through three fights, and the fourth one is with the Russian. And he goes to Russia to train, and you see the different training styles. You see the Russian who has the state-of-the-art equipment, and Rocky's using, you know, bricks and trudging through snow and whatnot. And he gets back into fighting shape. He gets even better. It's an excellent scene, but Rocky is preparing for the fight that's going to happen. That is the climax of what is about to go down. He's prepping. He's training. He's building the endurance, and it just gets me thinking again about us and our walk. Like, we're prepping, we're training. Side note, if you haven't seen the movie, which I've only seen like two hands, I would highly recommend seeing it. But that movie, plus the sermonette given almost a month ago, gets me thinking about us. We are prepping, we are training. But we're also fighting as well. Please turn with me to our first scripture that I want to base this message on with another scripture. John 18, verse 36. John 18, verse 36. And as we turn there, this section of scripture is after Jesus Christ has been given over by the Jews to Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate is questioning him based on the accusations, and then what Jesus is about to answer, or what he's answered, determines his fate. And one of the questions that's asked is in verse 33, then Pilate entered again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And then verse 36 is his response to that question. "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." As I look at this scripture, I ask the question, am I part of the kingdom of God? And how does one fight for that kingdom? It can't be physical fighting, because earlier we see Peter being his zealous self, drawing his sword from his sheath and cutting the ear of the high priest, and Jesus corrects him. So it can't be that. It has to be something more than physical fighting. In another scripture, it answers what we are fighting, what we were preparing for, which we are preparing for the kingdom, but we are also fighting. Please turn with me to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 12. This verse shows what we are up against. This verse shows what we are fighting against. In verse 12, as many as desire to make, it would help if I am in Ephesians and not Galatians. That does not make sense when you read that verse. In verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. If you were to look in other translations, I do believe that the modern English version, for that word wrestle, it says, for we do not fight against flesh and blood. And as we look at this scripture, I ask the question, oh, it helped if I would change the page. So we're not up against physical. This is what we're up against. This is what we're fighting against as being disciples of Jesus Christ until the kingdom that he has prepared and that is preparing returns with him. So with the time I have remaining, I would like to examine areas that will fortify our fighting for that kingdom that is yet to come. For those that like titles, I've titled this message, Fighting for Our Lord. Fighting for Our Lord. The first thing that we need to fortify, if we're fighting, is truth. As mentioned in another message, we tell ourselves truths that are not actually truth. We also have the world that's telling us what possible truths there are. But it's not truth. It's lies that are masked as truth because of human nature and the areas that we want to believe that are true. And the best lie is to have a little component of truth mixed with a lie. Then it's more easier to swallow. It's easier to believe. As I mentioned, there are truths out in the world. How many truths that are preached out in the world as truth are not what match up with truth? There are many religious teachings out there that teach truth. But are they? When I Googled, there are over 4,000 to 10,000 religions out there in the world to choose from. Those numbers are very, very staggering to think that there could be 4,000 to 10,000 religious truths that we can choose from that match with what we want to be truth. So if that staggers you, you can maybe put your truth in what the government preaches. There are 9 forms of human government. That's a little bit less down, condensed. And that's according to the National Geographic. There are so many ways out there that tell us what truth is and how we should live our lives. And I could get into more areas of ways to live, more different philosophies and thought processes. But we could probably be here all day covering every single set truth out there, a form of truth. And due to there being so many called true ways to live, we must fortify what truth is. We must fight for that truth. So what is truth? Please turn with me to a familiar scripture that is right to the point that we probably know, and that's found in John 17, verse 17. We have been given eyes to see, ears to hear. We know what truth is. But it's up to us to know that truth that's been given to us. In John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. This word, God's word, is truth. as mentioned in the sermonette, this is the instruction manual of how to get past the other hurdles of truth. It doesn't matter what's out there in the world of what truth they want to believe in, because it matters what is in this, what God's word tells us how to live. It doesn't matter what other religions say. It doesn't matter what government says. Because this book that we have, this is truth. And whatever is being said, whether it be in a different religion, whether it be a different government system, is telling us if it doesn't match up with this, it's not truth. But the task falls upon each of us to know what's in this instruction manual in order to know what truth is. We are called to be kings and priests in the kingdom that is to come. In order to fulfill that role, we must know what God's word says, so we know what to do, what is required of us, what the ultimate ruler says on how to live. Interesting fact from God's word. Rulers during Israel's time, the kings, the priests, they had to write out the law. The five first books of the Bible had to write it out before they could be a king. That's found in Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. I'm not saying we should or should not write out the law. That depends on a personal conviction. But I am saying that we should know what it says. We should know what God wants from us. We should be like the Bereans, studying the scriptures daily to see what God's word says. And we must fight. We must fight to maintain the truth that has been given to us. The next area that we must fight as we prepare for the kingdom of God and to fight for the kingdom of God is ourselves. That might seem like a little bit of an oxymoron. You're fighting, so therefore you have to fight oneself. Yes! The issue arises when we tell ourselves the truths we want to hear, because that's easygoing. I could do that. It's when there's things that cause us to want to, that are asked of us to change, that's when we get all bristly. We don't want that. We tend to justify the things we want to do rather than change according to what the truth says, God's word says. Or we think that we're just fine because we've been doing it for so many years. That we know the truth. We've been doing it. That's an issue in itself. Because we're not being honest. We're not letting this be that sword that cuts into us to know what the truth is. The issue that arises with the truth that we tell ourselves or that we believe is that we begin not to see the weaknesses in our own lives. We think that we're infallible, that I've been doing God's Sabbath for, I'll just use myself, I've been doing it for 25 years. I don't have nothing else to learn about the Sabbath. I've been doing it. But that's a weakness. And if we think that we are infallible and touch us and can't be touched, that's going to be a pitfall. Because there's one being that knows that we're fallible. There's one being that knows our weaknesses. that is going to exploit them for his benefit. That being Satan. Satan will exploit the arrogance of us thinking that we're infallible, that we've been doing it for so long, and he will cause us to slip and fall. And he will just do a little push and cause us to fall further and further away. That's why we must heed the words found in Lamentations 3. Please turn there with me. In Lamentations 3. And we'll pick it up in verse 40. And what verse 40 says, we must be doing on a regular basis. We must be doing this all the time. We must fight the urge to think that we are perfectly fine and we are all right. We must know what our weaknesses are. We must not live in denial. It's only when we accept the areas and that we see the weaknesses in our lives that we can actually make progress. We can grow. We can utilize the Spirit that has been given to us, God's Holy Spirit, to make those weaknesses in our lives that we actually now see to make possibly our strengths. But it starts with verse 40. It starts with an examination and being truly honest with oneself. Lamentations 3, verse 40. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. We must examine ourselves to know who we are and what is off with some of the things we do. The alternative is to deny that anything is off in our lives, that everything's a-okay. We don't have any weaknesses. We've been doing it for so long. If that's the case, then we are on very unstable ground. And we know where that could lead us. I'd like to turn to a New Testament scripture that gives us a warning. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. This warning we must take seriously. And as I say and will say again, we ourselves must fight ourselves and the thinking of being infallible, or this is the outcome. If we think that we don't have any weaknesses in which they can be exploited, trust me, they will. And trust me, they will cause us to sin and have the potential to walk away from this way of life. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. We must heed this warning. We must fight ourselves. We must examine ourselves so that we do not fall. So fight. Fight yourself. Fight what feels to be all right, but it doesn't match up with this word. We must fight. Another area that I'd like to delve into is knowing when to fight. Being a Christian is a very, very, how can I put it in a very, very polite way? It's a very, very grueling task at times, because we can think that we're having to fight 24/7. Or at times, it might feel like we're fighting 24/7. thinking we must or if that we are fighting 24/7 becomes an issue. The human body can't keep up the stress. We're weak. We're human. We're human beings. And the human body is not built for this. Nor did God contend for this to be. God wanted us to fight for His way and to change our ways to match up with His way. But according to what God wants us to fight, for what God wanted. If we were to look at the apostles, they fought. They fought for God's way. But only when God wanted them to fight, and when it was the right time. Please turn over with me to just a few books forward to Acts 6. I'm sorry, Acts 16, verse 6. This is the account of the apostles going into certain areas to spread the gospel. And the apostles wanted, just as much as we want, to spread God's word everywhere, to become better and to give that hope. But God had other plans than what their plans were. The apostles could have, in this account, just pressed forward and banged their proverbial heads against the wall, hoping that they would make ground, but they allowed God to direct them to what they needed to do, not what they wanted to do. To allow God to direct their path and to say, hey, this is where you need to go. And that's how we should do with ourselves when we're fighting ourselves at times, is let God guide that path. Acts 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone through in the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. In verse 7, after they had gone up to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit did not permit them. And they could have kept on trying to press the way to go into the area that they thought they needed to go. But that's not where they needed to go. God corrected them and said, you need to go this way. We may think we must correct this item in our lives. Right now, we see this sin. And we see this sin, we see this sin, we see this sin, we see this sin. We need to correct all these sins all at once. That could be very, very taxing. And I'm not saying to live with sin. We don't want that. But God will give us the strength. He will help us to forge the attack plan against that sin that's going on in our lives. He will make the time perfect for us to overcome that sin. He will help us correct those things in our lives on His time frame. Not in our time frame, but on His time frame. Because we cannot fight all the battles all at once, nor are we supposed to. We must pick and choose which battles we are to fight right now. And which battles in our own life, when it comes to sin, we'll come back to that battle. I know that that's off. I know that that's wrong. But I'm going to come back to that. And even though that we put this sin or this battle that we have because it does something that doesn't match up with God, I'm not saying to never come back to that. Come back to it. What I am saying is that there's a time for that battle. There's a place for that battle. Same applies when it comes to fighting those who are opposed to God's way. There are, like I said, there are so many religions, there are so many governments, there are so many thought processes. We need to choose when to fight. We must pray to God and ask, is this something that I need to fight? And we also need to realize when it's all right that it's not the time to fight. It's the time to walk away. That's the thing that we have to process. That is where discernment comes in to play. And I do believe that is what Jesus is saying in his sermon. Please turn with me to Matthew 7, verse 6. We must heed these words. When to fight. Or we may be in a bigger fight than we expected to be in. It'd help if I'm in Matthew and not Luke. Matthew 7, verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. How often have we been ready to fight and spread the truth? And then this is what happens. They start coming at us. And then we're in a bigger fight than what we thought we were in. We must use discernment and realize if this is a battle that's going to be beneficial for my growth, for the other person's growth, and most importantly, for the growth in the body of Christ. If it's just to preach for the sake of preaching and casting the pearls before, as it says here, swine, that's no benefit at all. But we who have been given God's Spirit have to discern, because we could also be on the reverse here of, well, I just don't want to. But that's what God is asking us to do. Again, that's where discernment comes in. Where we need to decide. Again, is this worth it? Or is it not? Is this what God is asking me to do? Or is it something that I just want to do? Again, something to think about there. The final area that I'd like to view in fighting for the Lord is that of being there. Being there for the fight. Because we can tend to be caught up in the prep and maybe the thought process of, I'm not prepped enough. Guess what? I'm not prepped enough. There are a lot of things that I have to overcome, and but there's also things that I need to just do. Going back to that Rocky movie in my intro, the fight was scheduled. It was going to happen whether or not Rocky was ready for that fight. The fight will come. We must be prepared. We must be prepared for that fight. We have to be covered with the armor of God. We must fight. We must not back down. When God has said it's time for us to fight, we must be ready. We can't say, sorry, I'm not ready yet. No, God's saying, you're ready. and we need to fight. When he says, fight, I want to turn to a familiar scripture that might not be looked at as a fighting scripture, but it is with this point. Please turn with me to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. This is about finding someone that will fill the gap in the wall, and we see the results. And even though it is filling in the gap for a wall, I would say that finding the gap to the one that is going to fight for God's way can be said the same. In verse 30 of Ezekiel 22, so I sought for a man, I'm going to add, or woman, among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Will our Lord and Savior, with his loving Father, see us fighting for his way? Or will he even find someone that's willing to fight? We must be prepared for the fights. And we should never back down from the fights that God puts in front of us. As mentioned in the sermonette, the hurdles, the rocks, the pits, the stumbling blocks. We must not back down from those challenges. We must fight. God wants us to fight the fights that he has deemed worthy for us to fight. And also, just like fights in the real world, or those depicted in movies, there's always that coach in the corner that's giving us advice. Hey, when this person does this, put up your gloves. We have the best coach in our corner when we're fighting for him. Our coach knows all the moves. He knows all the fighting tactics. He is our best coach in our corner. And what makes him the best coach is that he's willing to step into the ring to fight, to give us rest. What also makes him the best coach is that he's already fought a fight so that we could have eternal life. But like it says in Ezekiel 22, verse 30, at the end it says, but I found no one. Let's not be that. Let's be that one. Let's desire to be the one so doing, the one that's fighting, the one that's standing in the gap. Because we are servants of that coach in the corner. And we are fighting for the kingdom that is yet to come. We have been given the Holy Spirit to fight for our King and his kingdom and his truth. So let's not back down. Let's not step away from the challenge. Let's fight to rise up to the challenge and give us our best chance to win. We must know what we're fighting for. We must know the truth. And that's only going to come with reading the instruction manual. Because if we do not know what is true, then all we're fighting is the wind. We're not fighting against principalities anymore. We're pretty much just shadow boxing. And just like boxers who know their certain weaknesses, maybe they're not good with their, as the term would be, southpaw, so they don't use it. We must realize what our weaknesses are. We must train. We must prepare And we might be able, like I said earlier, to turn those weaknesses, once we realize that we have weaknesses, into strengths. Because if we don't even recognize that we might be weak in an area, if we don't remove that weakness from our life, then it could end up us getting us knocked out, flat on our back. And just like fights, as we're in a fight for ourselves and in our own lives, we need to pace ourselves in the fight. We can't just be guns blazing all the time. Our body's not built like that, no matter if we wish it were so. And then finally, brethren, we need to determine if the fight is worth fighting. Because maybe it's not the fight that we are supposed to fight. And when we're in that fight, we might be knocked out because it wasn't the fight that we're supposed to fight. And if we don't pace ourselves and we're guns a-blazing, just like in athletes of past, whether it be boxing or anything, we'll get gassed, get tired, and lose that way. So as Jesus told Pilate, if his kingdom was of this world, then my servants would fight. Let us be those servants and fight. Fight until the kingdom does come to this world.